Lord, we thank you this morning. We bless your name. Your name is excellent. We know that we live in a world where things are not excellent, but you are always excellent. You are our refuge this morning, our rest, our strength, our resting place. Lord, we know that we don't have all things together, but we have you. So we rest in your power this morning. We trust you to talk to us, help us, strengthen us, that at the end of this service, we'll be glad that we came in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Take your neighbor's hand beside you. Say, Lord, we agree together to be blessed today, to be affected, to be strengthened in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Amen. Please have your seat. Please have your seat. Pastor, you're welcome, sir. You're welcome, ma'am. This morning, as we gather, you know, there's something that we have lost now that is from today that I love. Those days that we are missing now is the art of writing letter. How many of you, when last did you write a letter? Anybody wrote a letter recently? Anybody? We don't write letters anymore. You only send texts, right? It's good to have you at the front, man. Nice to see you. You're welcome, man. You know, praise God. Pastor, you mean people you notice in church? I notice where you are. Sometimes you don't know. I know you. But I don't know everybody, but I know some people. Praise God. But I can tell where you sit down sometimes. And when you don't come, I wonder why you're not there. Or sometimes they put you somewhere else. Sometimes the ushers can just rearrange you. Amen. God is good. You know, one of the things I used to do those days is writing letters. Before I became a pastor, I was a traveling minister of the gospel. So I had friends all over the place, particularly older men, or older women. When I was in my 20s, I started ministering when I was 25, thereabout. And I started ministering, you know, 25, I think so. Thereabout, 25, 26. So, and I had this woman that I got born again. She was an ex-manager that got born again through me in Lagos with PZ, and then another set at Ibadan. So I'll communicate with them. I'll go down to visit them, write them letters. And I love them, like letters in the Bible, epistles. And but today, it's just text, right? And 160. Then 160 SMS, then it goes to how many couple after that? Pastor, what's the matter this morning? Not this, I'm just telling you how life has changed that. Those days, you write letters there, whatever. Just like, you know, today, people, somebody died, they just call you on the phone. Hello, hello, Mama Tikuo. This is untidy. One day I was on my road in my house, going toward, coming out, and on the road, out on the road. This lady was on the road, just like crying. I close it. Oh, Tikuo, you know? I mean, she would have asked, where are you? Where are you? Manners have gone. Where are you? What's those days before they announce somebody's death, people will come around you, hang around, and then they break the news for you. Can you just imagine that? Your old daddy, who took care of you, call for Otukuo, like my driver yesterday. You were in the house, she finished eating, she was washing plate. They say, hello, what happened? My father's younger sister is just dead. Just like that. He said, Nikojoko, Kojem, so the Jem, Baoni, then you break the news. That's good manners. So, write letters. So, one of my friends in the Ibadan is dead now. Mrs. Amon, Mrs. Amona. The husband used to be the MD of Moore Plantation in Ibadan. So my ally, you know, daddy, this thing kind of things, you know. So I wrote a letter. Now, she had a son, a doctor in Cardiff, Wales, and she'd go and visit them. So one time she was traveling. When she traveled with all my letters. I would write like Apostle Paul, write letters. I would explain Bible, do stuff for them. I don't feel like writing anymore now. You know, I write this, you know. I had authored many books too. You never heard of them. I'm in story mode this morning. When I went for Balumi's wedding. Where's Balumi? He's over there. I was at his wedding. The pastor who did the communion for you. So after I finished the communion, sat beside me. My wife was between him and her, and him and myself. And I told my wife, say, you know what? Your husband doesn't know me. I said, he said, I was in Abeokuta here working at bulk purchasing company. And I was a Muslim. I just got born again. And I would go to bookshop and I'd find these books there to help me start my Christian life. So he said, I read these books those days that helped me to start my Christian life. I never met him before. You know, so those days did that. So that woman, back to my story, I wrote her letters. So she traveled to Cardiff, Wales with my letters. But I won't say mistakenly, she packed some saving powder for her son, because her son is a typical Nigerian. They will only use Nigerian thing. So when she got to the airport, they thought it was cocaine, the saving powder. So they arrested, they just detained her. And then this woman is an elegant woman. She used to make cake for Madame Babangida. Remember Babangida? Babangida's wife. Yeah, high influential woman like that. My friends do this. So they stopped her, start checking all her load. Then they found the bunch of letters I wrote her. And the customer, the white man, sat down and read through the letters. Once read through the letter, he just said, stop! Don't search her anymore. She's a clean woman. Let her go. My letters. She read them. You know, the guy read them and said, this must be a clean woman. If they stop you at the airport and open your phone, would they say you're a clean person? I just stop it there. You know, so you can see letters I'm writing. I wish I can write some of you letters. I wish I can visit you and sit down with you. I really wish I could do that. My best time is when I sit down with person one-on-one, you know, not just church like this. You know, I enjoy church. I do that. You know, prof, remember, we can sit down in the house and just talk. You know, just talk. I love that. Some of you, but you won't visit me. Even when you come to church, you won't sit at the front because you run away from me. I'm a nice chap. Find out. I'm not really bad. You know, I'm just tough, you know, once in a while. Sometimes I can be tough on somebody and I can rebuke you for 2 hours. In a very nice way, I'll go upside, come down, and rebuke you. Go up and then come back here. And when I finish, I say, will you drink coke? All right, fantastic. So if I happen to write you a letter, what will I write? I find something out in the Bible. I write you a letter as a pastor. 3 John, Message Bible. Let's look at verse 1. If I write you a letter, what will I write? This is what I will write. Hallelujah. 3 John, verse 1. The pastor. I love that, don't you? It's 3 John. The pastor to my good friend. Put your name there. Gaius. How truly I love you. You know, I told you I've been preaching for years. I'm no more having a kick out of preaching. I'm not impressed about going anywhere. I went to US one time to preach for 14 days. I didn't go anywhere else. I just preached, and came back to Nigeria. I know you will not believe this. I've been here since 1989. I've never been to Uluma Rock. You know, I'm a very quiet person now. Where should I go? I can see the picture. See, I'm just that kind of quiet person. I don't really. But what fascinates me most is human beings. My wife and I, we went to that time to US. I preached for about 1 hour, New York City. Those ladies that I met over there, I couldn't get away from them. My mind remembers them till now. Human beings are, to me, the greatest thing on the planet. You know, and so each person over here, you're so important, you're so valuable. God made you for a purpose, and that purpose will be fulfilled in Jesus' name. So I truly love you. I'm not that emotional kind of person, but I'm really concerned when I come to church. I'm not thinking of just actually preaching. I'm thinking of what will do you the best good. And this is what I will write for that letter. How I truly love you. Next verse. Next one. See, what's going on? Balumi, I didn't get it. Oh. Balumi, that's nice. Balumi is also my friend. I've been to his place, you know, check him out, kind of a thing. I want to go to his factory now. He's into pure water. I want to go and visit his. Pastor, you mean you do all that? I do. Because you just don't come and visit me. You think I'm too weird, right? I have some friends like that, small ones, like grandpa, you know, our kids, Michael, you know. Okay, so Balumi, thank you. Next one, I didn't see that. We are the best of friends. Now, this is what I'm going to write for you. I pray for good fortune, everything you do. You hear that? I don't want you to miss it in anything. I want you to do well. I know the country is very hard. I know things are difficult, but I want you to have good fortune in everything you do. And for your good health, I don't want you sick. I don't want you broken down. I want you to have the best of life. I'm not saying become a millionaire or billionaire, but just live life that you wake up in the morning, you are happy. And it says that this is my greatest desire, that your everyday affairs do what? Prosper. You know, it's not about just making $1 billion, but everyday affair, whatever you do, turn out well. That's what you want to do. Loving your wife, taking care of your kids, going to work, coming back. You cannot break it down all the time, not be miserable, not be stressed all the time, but that your everyday affair prosper. You know, when you do like that, you have more time to do other things. That's why people are Japa. That's why they are going abroad. Because when you have water and light, things are working, you can attend to other things. One of my friends just came from U.S. and he was in the service today. You know, he was telling me, he's a pastor. They said, they called his name, I didn't remember. But when I saw, I said, I remember him. He was here about a couple of years ago. You know, his father, I know the father is a minister in town. And he's back to Nigeria trying to help churches and kind of a thing. You know, that's the thing. You know, so if you want to go abroad, nobody's stopping you. But even abroad, you have to have your everyday affair prosper. Even as well as your soul. I know one thing. Let me be honest with you. You cannot really prosper and live in health without your soul doing well. And our job here is to help your soul. That's what we're after here. Amen, somebody. So tell your neighbor beside you, we are here to see that you prosper in your soul. And when you prosper in your soul, you prosper everywhere else. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let me drop a bombshell before Stamoji is not around, so we have only one reading. And then Prof will come up. Let me drop this. I've noticed something that makes me feel one kind. You go somewhere, somebody will say, Anu ni moriba. Kind of see somebody becomes 55 years old, so 50, you say, Anu ni moriba. So what about those who are not yet 55 years old? Or those who are, you know, I don't want to make the Anu of God. This, and then they will quote this verse. God will show mercy to whom He will show mercy, remember? But that verse, we have a problem with it. You see, that verse has gotten misquoted. What do I say? That verse has gotten misquoted. That verse was in a series of talking. It's like I'm saying that tomorrow Dr. Adele will be in my house, and then we will go down to Lagos together the day after tomorrow and then travel abroad. Now, if you only hear, he will be in my house, and you hold on to that, then you forget that being my house is just part of the statement. Am I making some sense? Am I making some sense? And then, if you are focusing, being in my house, if you come the day after, you won't find him in my house. You'll be in Lagos, and the day after, we'll be abroad. Do you get that kind of sense? So when you say, Anoni Moriba, and it's as if God just picks you, or just, no. That is a statement within the journey. What's the statement? Let's go and see it. Matthew 9, verse what now? Sorry, Romans 9, verse 17, there about. That verse they usually quote, if I'm correct. Yeah. Beautiful. Verse 15. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. So, this, see, just taking that verse alone and stop there, Paul was in a conversation that started from chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11. It finished at chapter 11. At the end of it, he started praising God when he finished. But people read that the beginning of the conversation and said, he will have mercy on you. If he will have mercy on you, just that's your life. But then he ran through the story. Please listen to this. And he got to Romans 11. Before he started praising God in conclusion, Romans 11 verse 30. Take a look. Everybody look at this so you can see this. For as you were once disobedient to God, talking about the Jews, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience. Now look at next verse. I love this. Even so, this also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, Let's go further. Why is God showing you mercy? So that you can also have mercy on others. What? Next verse. Take a look at next verse. For God has committed them all to what? That he might have what? How many of us? See, that's the end of the story. Next verse is what? Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable. What I'm saying, in essence, this morning is that stop saying things like this. Anonymous riba, along come pick me, none. Along pick here, ubualo pick. Nobody's left out. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? If you don't believe that, then don't share at the end of service. Surely and shall all, tell your neighbor, that means me and you. Surely goodness, relax, we are not closing the service. Say to yourself, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days. Can I have you, both of you at the front there? Come. Follow me. Just follow me. Let's do it like this. Where's your wife? I see somebody. Okay. Stay on this side. Come. Stay on this side. Balance me up. I'm at the middle. Just follow me. Don't go ahead of me. All right? Now, just try and close the space behind me. Close. See, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. If something happens and I'm stopped and I fall back, as we fall on them. So anytime you get into trouble and you fall back, goodness and mercy, they are, you guys are not serious. Want me to fall out? Scared that? So no matter what happens, you are tracked, you are stopped, you are hindered, fall back on the mercy and the goodness of God. That by the goodness of God, I'll get out of this. By the mercy of Jehovah, you show me the way out. Let's lift our hands and say, Father, thank you for your goodness and your mercy this morning. Thank you. You can go to your seat. Thank you. God bless you. Lord, thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I fall on your mercy this morning. I fall on your goodness. Whatever I need for life, I count on your goodness. I count on your mercy. I count on your goodness. I count on your mercy. I count on your goodness. I count on your mercy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Tell your neighbor, I have as much as mercy and as much as goodness as you do, because it's from the same Father. Clap your hands for Jesus. Well, I'm ready to read. Let's read some word, some book this morning. What are you reading this morning? Powerful priest. Okay, daily insight. Let's read some daily insight. Then afterward, prof will come up. I got something important to talk to us. Okay, you can have this. Thank you. All right, ready? Okay. What chapter are we reading? Chapter what? Day 5. Okay, beautiful.
Thank you, sir. Good morning, church. Excellence where you are. Uzziel, the son of Ahiah, one of the goldsmiths, made repairs. Also next to him, Ananiah, one of the perfumers, made repairs. And they fortified Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 8. Sometimes God's desire for us is to do our very best, even though we don't quite fit the job. When Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls of the city and to restore dignity to God's people, the place was in terrible shape. His job looked hopeless, but Nehemiah believed God could do the impossible. He rallied the people and put them to work carrying stones, framing doors, and defending one another from attacks. Through the chapter of Nehemiah's story, we find people pitching in where they were needed. They didn't ask HR to fit them perfectly to do their job. They just rolled up their sleeves and went to work. Uzziel was a master goldsmith, but when he was asked to carry huge rocks, he never complained. He just worked. And next to him, Ananiah carried stones too. These guys regular work was making perfume, not slinging mortar, swinging hammer, or lugging rocks. But he worked hard next to the goldsmith. Perhaps those around you complain when their work doesn't perfectly match their skills. Don't let the attitude poison you. Instead, roll up your sleeves and do whatever it takes to get the job done. You will win the trust of your boss and the respect of your peers. And you might even enjoy it. When you do more than you are paid to do, you will be paid more for what you do. I'll read it again. Can we do it together? When you do more than you are paid to do, you will be paid more for what you do. It's just a matter of time. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bible to Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Or please, verse 19, sorry. Matthew 18, 19. We want to pray the prayer of agreement. It says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Praise the Lord. I don't have a persuasion to explain much. I just want us to just take the word the way it is. And the background to that is in verse 3. Please give us verse 3 of Matthew 18. Jesus said, truly I say to you, unless you turn to become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. What's the future of children? You just believe. And I'm inviting all of us, let's just take this word for what it says. It says, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Let's just take it that way. Do you have any issue? Just be like a child. A child does not reason circumstances. If you tell your child, I will come back with a Hummer Jeep after service today, the young boy will expect a Hummer Jeep to drive into the compound. And if you don't bring back the Hummer Jeep, he will ask you. That means he never reckoned with who you are in terms of your resources. He just believed you. And God is asking us to come to him because he will do it to us as our Father. And he's asking us, please don't consider how long that issue had been. Don't consider the human interpretations of the complication. Don't consider what you have reasoned out. Don't consider the fact that possibly the mix-up is a result of your own error. He says, if you come and agree with anyone because you believe this scripture, it will be done for you. Hallelujah. Please, if you have anything for which you want us to agree, please, I will just implore you to take the step of faith and come forward. And the rest of us, let's just bow our heads and worship God in the Holy Spirit. Let's do it on purpose as a manner of worship to him.
Sorry for interrupting. Sorry, before we pray. Prof, I got a testimony about prayer of agreement from a brother in church. Sorry for interrupting. So that before you pray, he sent me how far this has gone. The mother is a Christian. The brother is in church with his wife. I think she has told the mother that we pray of agreement on Sunday morning. And so that Sunday, the sister was built for an operation that we were a little bit confused and concerned about. The mother told him that you are going to church this morning and I know that you do prayer of agreement. Please pray prayer of agreement for your sister. And then they prayed and everything just went smoothly and very well. Praise God. I just want to share that testimony. So as you come forward, this thing, actually, God is working with it because it's the word of God.
Hallelujah. Please, let's build on that. Please come forward. Let's pray. And the rest of us, let's bow our heads and just bless God in the Holy Spirit. Please, if you want us to agree with you, please come forward. Let's do that speedily. The promptness with which you come is a sign of your confidence. Please, let's do this promptly. And partners, please, let's join them. Partners, please, let's join them.
Bless your name, Jesus. Give you Jesus glory. Bless the Lord. Celebrate your presence here. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Let's lift our hands and thank Him. Glory be to Jesus. God will hear us. Prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Beleo. Okay, Acts 20. Let's read this verse. I'm going to take care of. Okay. Let's look at Acts 20, 20. Okay, Acts 20, 20. Give us in KJV Bible, and I want to make this announcement. Okay. I'd like you to look at this verse. How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I showed you and I taught you publicly and from house to house. One of the things I want us to really do this time we are living in is to know what to do in this season, this economic time. And then, graciously, the Deacon Stephen group, they serve people, encourage, do all kinds of things in church, outside church. And they are gracious in making a seminar available for us. They're bringing a special business seminar speaker from Lagos to address us on the last day of this month, September 30. Let's clap for them. One of those high-flying guys, and they collect a lot of money, but Deacon Stephen is trying to arrange with them for them to come, or one of them to come, and we are not paying. It's a free class. I think that would be good for us. And One of the things they're going to break out sessions, they're going to have different things. They're talking about innovative ways of making money highlights, and then developing soft skills that can help you win the marketplace now, and also how to assess capital for your business, if you're in business, and also investment opportunities in this kind of season. They also talk about side hustle you can do to complement your salary, and then digital money, current trends, and why you should not lose your money. All this digital thing. And if you are maybe looking for jobs and how to attract the best companies for employment and then different career strategies, you can. So that will be on the September 38th, October 1 is following Sunday. And October 38th, September for the business seminar. I think 9 or 10 o'clock will be here. So please come around. It's available if you're in business, particularly if you're not in business, you want to think of business and career, you want to make progress, come around. And it's going to be likely be in this hall, likely, you know, because yeah, likely, or upstairs. So, and then October 1 is joint service. And the highlight is that we are going to eat. Hello? Somebody accused Nigerian pastors that Daddy Freeze said they were eating the tithe. Old Testament. So you are coming to come and eat your tithe, Daddy. Your tithe and offering. You are not raising money. Nice to see you. Where have you been since? I was in school. All right, thank you. I must say, who is that? I'm talking to you. Okay. All right. Okay, great. Praise the Lord. This thing I want to share this morning, it's heavy on my heart. I'm sitting down. I hope I won't get up soon. I'm always asking myself, I don't like wasting my life. I don't like wasting my time. I always want to find out what's the most important thing, what will get me the best. When I was in school, I always go for the most important, the most essential. I don't want to waste my life. I'm not too big to have energy to waste. So when it comes to things like this church, what's the most important thing? Christianity, what's the most important thing? We African people, because we have power, we like to go round. And I'm not African in that dimension. I don't like to do things just because we are doing it, and then do because the crowd are doing it. So when we come down to this thing called church, Christianity, what is the most important thing? What is the thing that will secure heaven access, will secure your life, that you can say, this is the main thing about Christian life? Now, let me drop this. I feel like getting up. Religion and Christianity are a little bit different. In religion, Christianity is also a religion in a way. And so Islam, Buddhism, they all have principles. 5 times daily praying, Buddhism, meditation, astral projection, Christianity, attend services, they all have their fastings. But if you remove Muhammad from Islam, Islam will continue. If you remove Buddha from Buddhism, it will continue. But Christianity can never survive without Christ. But have you noticed that though you come to church, we don't call you churchian. We don't call you churchian. We call you what? Christian. So what's the most important thing for blessing, for help, for God, for all that stuff? And today, I want to show you. This thing took place in the Bible. It's a story. You are going back there. But let's first of all read. Why Christ? Let me ask your neighbor. Why Christ? Let's go to chapter 1, the book of Hebrews. Verse 1. Just look up a minute. I want to help you today because I really don't want to waste your time chasing shadows as a Christian. Let's focus on the most important thing. If you have been coming on Tuesday, I started a teaching last week called When Christians Differ. There are all types of Christians today, all kinds of churches. But what's most important? What's the most essential? This is it. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time when? To the fathers by who? Next verse. But has in these last days done what? spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, to most also made the world. Next verse. And who, talking about the Son now, who being the brightness of his glory, describing the Son, Jesus, as the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. And when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down, rattled the majesty on high. These are all complicated words. Let's say it in clear, modern way English. Let's go to NLT Bible, New Living Translation. Verse 1. Let's go. Look at it. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophet. We live in a society and in a generation where prophets are so important today. Some of you over here, your family has prophets. Some of you over here, your mom sends you prophetic words regularly. Or your uncle or your auntie. Some of you over here, in your workplace, some prophets visit regularly. I'm not against anybody. But from what we are reading over here, that the character of the prophetic was more with our fathers. But look at next verse. And now, in these final days, I just happened to read, he has spoken to us through God promised everything, not to the prophet, but to the Son. Muhammad is a prophet. Or was a prophet, right? He said he was the last prophet. And they put PBOH, peace be upon him. I went to Muslim school. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. And through the Son, he created the universe. Let's keep reading. The Son, what does he do? Radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. Mark that. And this very Son sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. And he did one unusual job. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. Next verse. And I close with that. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels. Just as the name God gave him their names. Now, I want to be very honest with you. I want to give you partial package. Why? As God changed from using the prophet and turning to his sons, there must be a reason. Am I making some sense? If I change the car to carry you home, there must be a reason. You may not know, but now, have you ever been there before? For instance, let's take an example. Why is it that sometimes they prophesy about Nigeria, it doesn't come to pass? Sometimes, I don't know about you over here, our parents have taken us to places. Did they take you to? Are you a here? Ah, what if I wobble? Things like that. Anybody here I'm talking about? You never heard, you're not a Nigerian. You didn't grow up in Southwest. Huh? Now, one day, God was telling one prophet the reason why prophets don't come, prophecy doesn't come to pass, only they come to pass. Let's go to Jeremiah 18. Come follow me. Let's read from Jeremiah 18, NLT. Please, I want you to pay attention. I'll tell you the reason why. The most important thing. Are we here, everybody? Please follow this story. You can follow reading on the screen. This is a different Bible that is in a different translation. The Lord gave another word. Jeremiah was a prophet, one of the most outstanding prophets under the Old Testament. He said, what did he say to him? Go down to the potter's shop. You know potter's shop? Where they make pots. And I'll speak to you there. Let's keep reading. So I did as he told me and found the potter working at his wheel. What happened next? But the jar he was making, what did he say next? Wow. Let's see it again one more time. The jar he was making, so he crushed it into a lump of clay again and started over. Let's keep reading. Then the Lord gave me this message. Everybody listen. Next verse. O Israel, can't I do to you as this potter has done to this clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. Now what's the message? Let's keep on reading. If I announce that a certain nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down and destroyed. If I give you a prophecy, I'll destroy you. I'll attack you. I'll pick you down. I will deal with you. Prophecy from prophet. Look at next verse. But then that nation renounces its evil ways. I will not destroy it as I planned. My prophecy won't come to pass. What? Did you hear that? Let's go on reading. And if I announce that I will plant, build, bless a certain nation or kingdom, an individual, but then that nation turns to evil, refuses to obey me, I will not break, said I would. Interesting. So prophecies are conditional. No matter how powerful to wield you as a prophet, whatever it says does not depend upon his anointing. I know you're not hearing me. God is saying that the prophecy fulfillment is conditioned on the person's life. Did you hear me? One of my lola, why die a pauper? You die a pauper. They say, Makbela, whoa, oh, Nikbe. Huh? God himself said, I prophesy to people, prophesy to nations, to individuals. I will bless you. And they will never get blessed because their life. So it is more important to work on the life than on prophecy. Are we here? Are you here? God can spend his whole lifetime prophesying, prophesying, prophesying. But at the end of the day, the result will be on the lives of people. So that's why God said, I'm no longer just dealing with prophecy. I want to bring my son to repair this thing. Clap your hands for Jesus. That's why Jesus, when he came, was not prophesying all the time. Check your Bible. Wow. Because no matter what promising you are, I promise you university, we have to get 5 credits to enter. Are you hearing me? You can ask children, I want to be an architect, I want to be an engineer, I want to be a doctor. Oh, pass biology, chemistry, or lobby, come on. Taba yi we fwe, you won't be a right doctor. So God's plan is that he wants to really work on us. That's why Jesus said, I have come that you might have what? Not just prophecy. Why are you coming to this church? Why are you coming to church? Why are you praying? Why are you fasting? Where are you doing? Why are you doing all those things? Let's talk about it very well. Are you really exposed to the number one person, Jesus himself? He said, can't I do with you as this potter does with? I can reshape, I can remold. It's not about just prophesying Jeremiah. Your prophecy is important, but I want to make you. I want to, hallelujah. Tell anybody, you need a maker. Hallelujah. Pastor, I've been made already. Ilaye otiton. Oh, it's a better journey. I'm just starting an eternal life. So you need a maker. I just made you finish. When he says to you, whatever you ask, you will get. He's not talking about just prophecy. He's talking about, when I finish with you, what you will ask for will be what you are asking now. You see, as a child, when I ask, what do you want? I want a big car toy. Am I right? Or toy car. But when you become 15, 16, that's the kind of a car you ask for. When you are 25, that's the kind of a car you ask for. Life is added more. Am I right, somebody here? Now tell your neighbor beside you, Jesus is more important for you than prophecy. Jesus is more important for you. Okay, let's talk about that. Matthew 17. Let's take a graphic picture. I want to give you what we are doing here and what's most important as a Christian. My. If you don't see this, you see that you have wasted your time in church. A lot of people have wasted their time today in church. Matthew 17 from verse 1. Take a look. Now, look at this story. It's a story in the Bible. Jesus, when this happened to Jesus, he warned disciples, don't tell anybody until after I'm raised from the dead. What's the story? Now, after six days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother. How many of them now? You're not reading. Your mind is not here. Tell your neighbor, are you here? From that verse, English comprehension. How many there? Must say three. So did you bring your mind back to church? After this, Jesus took Peter, James, and John. How many alone here? Four. Thank you. And led them up to where? A high mountain by themselves. What happened here? Next verse. And he was transfigured before them. Now, Jesus looked normal, but that day he took three along with him, climbed up, and it changed. His face shone like the sun. Remember, the sun radiates his glory. See, so Jesus, when he was here, he was in a camouflage. You know camouflage? Have you seen camouflage? I went to the bank on which day? Friday. And I got to Access and I saw this vehicle blocking the road. I mean vehicle. And they had leaves on it, as if they're in the bush. What is it called now? Camouflage. So Jesus, when he was here, he's just in the camouflage. That body was doing that physical body was a camouflage. He was wearing like art suit, like Apollo going to the moon. You know, you have something like that. Jesus was not. That's not the real one. He just put that on for our sake. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. Woo! I love Jesus. So it just. How many of you ever watch Cartoon Network? Don't mind me. I'm an adult that likes to go back to the child stage. My wife said, you're watching Cartoon Network, you know. I like Cartoon Network. You just jump over houses without thinking. I used to watch Ben 10. You know Ben 10? On Serious Adults. Don't mind us. We want to escape from all these pressures once in a while. Then we do like this. You just touch the ring, turn to a frog, turn to a house. Jesus is the original Ben 10. The original man, that's true. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. Next verse. Now follow. And behold, how many were there before? Four. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking with him. Wow. Wow. They came from wherever heaven. You know, Moses was transport. No, Moses disappeared. They never knew his graveyard. Remember? And Elijah was taken by chariot to heaven. And then Jesus was discussing, just changed into his real, real, real form, original. And then these two people showed up with him. Moses representing all of the law, and Elijah standing for all the prophets, and they were talking with him. Now, big deal. Can you imagine this? Next verse. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Mark actually told the real story. He said they were sleeping. It's really amazing what God does in your life. Please be here. I want to surprise you with something. Many of us want to see God display publicly before people. He doesn't do that with your testimonies. It changes your life behind the scene. They may come and see the fruit later, but when it's changing you, nobody will see it. Tell your neighbor, God is changing things in your life. You may not see it yourself. You know, they were sleeping and Jesus transfigured. He could have just woken them up. He didn't wake them up. In the midst of that thing, they opened their eyes. And Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Hey boy, read it along with me. Let's read the next part. If you wish, let us make here, how many? 3 tabernacles. 1 for you, 1 for Moses, and 1 for Elijah. Let's keep reading. And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly, a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Peter said, let's have all the 3 of you. Let's have the law, let's have the prophet, and let's have Jesus. We don't want that. If you have options, we have alternatives. You can go to this one, this one doesn't work. He said, no. God said, this is my chosen, this is my beloved. Listen to him. And what happened next? Next verse. And when disciples heard that voice, they fell on their faces, were greatly afraid. Next verse. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, don't be afraid. Next verse. And when they lifted up their eyes, let me hear your voice. Jesus only. You're going to have to take your Christian life to Jesus only if you are going to see great, marvelous things happen in your life. Let me give you an example. I got a friend who was in police, high-level police officer. One day, a prophet we all know, great prophet, walked into his office and said, my friend, get ready. They are coming to attack you. I see this office invaded by robbers, and they are going to deal with you. I saw this office scattered, and I saw your men. Maybe it's even saw death. That prophet left his office and walked out. Then he got up and he said, Lord, you know, I'm your child. I'm in your family. Jesus is my Lord. I don't want that to happen here. It never happened. First thing, how can you say that? I'm trying to get something across to you today. Jesus only. Do you know that as a pastor myself, I never depend upon my anointing, my ability, my experience. Jesus only. Say that with me. Jesus only. Next verse. Now, as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. So I'm telling you now, because he's risen from the dead. Clap your hands for Jesus. That resurrection gave him the credibility to do that. Pastor, thank you for all these stories. So how do I assess? You say, I should not hear the prophet. No, hear the prophet. I should not listen to Moses. No. But put them on grade 2 and grade 3. Whatever Jesus, let me give an example. The prophets will come in the Bible and say, thus saith the Lord. Christ will come and say, verily I say to you. So it is important here to listen to Jesus. Let's go further. Let me round up. So what are the implications of this in your life? Number one, I'm going to give certain things in the Bible that will help you. Let's look at the implications of Jesus only. Matthew 7. Let's go. In your life, as an intelligent Christian coming to church, not just coming to church, joining everybody, make some noise, attend programs, sing some song, pray some prayer, and at the end of it all, could you account for anything? Let's go to Matthew 7. Okay. What are the implications of Jesus being the most important thing in your Christian activity? You know, let me tell you, you can know everything I know. Let me tell you. You can know everything I know. You know what? Everything I know is about Jesus. This way I'm different like that. There's nothing special about me. See, pastor, no. Other ministers, something special about them. I'm telling you, you can know everything I know, just know Jesus. Period. I don't have any special anything that I mix at home or one place I go to, one special place I pray, I close it. My only secret is Jesus. I'll tell you why. Matthew 7. Are we there? Let's look at the implications. Hallelujah. Are we ready? Okay. Verse 13. So, Jesus only. Look at this verse, everybody. I want to help you today. If you're going to use this well in your life. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate. And broad is the way. That leads to what? And there are many. See that word capitalized. Who go in by it? Second verse. Next one. Because narrow is the gate. And difficult is the way. Which leads to life. And there are few. Jesus only is narrow. Jesus and many others is wide. Let me give an example. Are we everybody? Are we everybody? Marriage. You can go by the narrow way or the wide way. You can go by the narrow way. Jesus said, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Wife, submit to your husband as church to Christ. Or you can go and read all the books on marriage and listen to everything. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Thank you. Can I tell you, the guy who wrote that book has divorced his wife. Huh? Finally, they are from different planets. They should not marry. When they were screaming about cryptocurrency, you know how much you lost? But Jesus said, give. It shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It has not changed all these years. Huh? Jesus said, love your enemies. There are many books on prayer telling you to curse, kill, and maim your enemies. And they are Jews. So, I've learned something about life. When I see many people going that way, I don't go. Anything people are doing in droves, that's an indication for me not to follow them. For instance, jackpa. If I'm going to jackpa, I won't jackpa now. You know why? I won't jackpa now. I'm sorry for talking to you. I'm talking about myself. I will jackpa when people are not jackpaing. Warren Buffett, one of the richest men in the world, he said, you have to be contrarian in your thinking. You're not going to make, when everybody's buying, don't buy, sell. When everybody's selling, buy. If you are going to be outstanding, Jesus is giving us now that you're going to have to be narrow. You're going to be like me. Only option. Don't think like the rest of the people. Any idea that's becoming too populated and too general won't let you last. Anytime you hear, this investment is making money, it has already finished making money. Hear me? Are you here? Any lady you are thinking of marrying, and everybody wants to marry her, be careful. Any guy you want to marry is everybody's friend. You better be careful. Any car you want to buy, and everybody want to buy, be careful. Because everybody here going wala wambe. Because the crowd, they are on the way to destruction. Anything easy, format, bam, like that, Jesus said it doesn't work. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way. To me, I know you're a professor now. If they offer you 3 years to professorship from bachelor's, don't you like that? It's shorter. Apollo is in there, right? Bring no day there. Can I promise you something? tell them, there's no easy marriage. There's no easy job. There's no easy business. Tell yourself, there's no easy your life. You hear me? But, listen, when it's great, when it is difficult and narrow at the beginning, it widens as you go further. Life is increasing there. But when it's wide at the beginning and easy, it narrows the difficulty later and hard. When everybody's jumping on the bad wagon, give them some years. They are all regretting later. But when you are narrow, it's just like, you know school now? You know school now? When the guy, when everybody's not reading, they are playing around and you are reading, they call you crazy. But on the exam day, and then you write, and then result comes out. And 10 years down the line, you got first class going to Harvard. Where are they going? Harvard University. It get better down the line. That's one. Second, first implication, narrow road. Second implication, Matthew 7. Look at it. Verse 15. Beware of false prophets. Beware of what? For instance, I'm coming to you now. You're thinking of getting married. Instead of getting narrow and difficult and go through processes, John, James, and Peter. They are all apostles of Jesus. Alofun pastor, alofun prophet, Belelowo, Evan pray. John, James, and Peter. John, James, and Peter. John, James, and Peter. Then I find Peter. I'm a lue every day. Easy at the beginning, but difficult all your lifetime. Beware of false prophets. You see that in the Bible? Beware. See, now that you are following Jesus, don't listen to any other voice offering us alternatives. Now, I'm not saying prophets are bad. I prophesy too. But false prophet usually prophesy for your money, for their own acclamation, for their own profit. Who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. See, let me tell you, this is how you know a minister. You just say, this is how you know. Any minister that does not promote Jesus Christ is a false minister. It's a false prophet. Because God is no longer sending any ministry aside from Jesus. If you say you are a prophet, you prophesy in line with Jesus. If a prophet comes to you and say, Omo, you know, niwaju e wala kan wa. Ise la ma se fun e o. Ta ba si se yan tan bayi, wa wa san 10,000, ma 100,000, aje 110,000, 110 exactly. Wa gbadura fun e. You should sing, Ija pari, ogun sitan, olubala, jagun, ore ayo. Baptist, sing now. Ale. Pastor, prophet, you are too late. He has finished the work. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. Is that all right? They're just after what they are going to eat and money for their ministry. They are my colleagues. I know their trademark. I got one prophet like that. He said, this woman will come to him every Sunday. Oh, my one in New York. This one say, Pastor, if I may pray. Oh, my clearly nearby. That our friend is very, you know, just, he said, I just tell you, oh, wadada. Because he won't want to hear anything else. Oh, wadada. One woman in Sapele, this is a true story. Before she travels anywhere, she go and see the prophet and get a blessing to travel. One day, the prophet traveled out of Sapele. She had to travel. She couldn't see the prophet. She died on the road. What killed her? Ignorance. Why? Prophet or no prophet, Jesus is there with you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you to the end of your life. I'm trying, you see, some of you over here, Pastor, person sorrow ye. Ministry you only grow, come on, grow like lie. I don't want to grow so egbe, stupid people. How many women here, you want to have 25 children who are always 2 years old? I mean, you got 25 babies in the house. We are in a big... You tell your husband, get me out of here! You get visa without telling your husband. Number one, options. Number two, number three, let's start handing up. I've got two more to say. Number three, if Jesus only, now let me warn you, there's a day coming that you are going to, we face the end of our life. Look at this in your Bible, verse 22. Take a look. Many will say to me in that day, the final day. Now, you see, what matters most, when I was in secondary school, what matters most to me is not secondary school, is what I come out with. It's the final day. I don't have time to tell you stories. Secondary school I went to, I didn't care about them. I checked the syllabus. They write every kind of thing. They tell to take us. I just look at the syllabus. I got white syllabus. Check it up. When it joined the syllabus, I do. When it's not the syllabus, I don't. So I was marked out for bad boy. I didn't mind. So the day we were leaving school, they did all kind of things. They did. I went to Muslim school. They do kufara kufara for us. Kufara kum. You sit down. They pray. The Islamic pastor, or no, the mom that prayed. He prayed till. What's that one in English? What? You know? I mean, he prayed till his leg was refusing to move. And, was, you know, and then he prayed. You know what? We all failed, Bororo, except a few of us. We all failed. Do you know what? I read by the syllabus and I passed by the syllabus because that's what matters to Waheke, is the final thing. You know, after all this said and done, what will be the final thing? Many said to me that day, Lord, we have prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name. Next verse. And I said to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. We never had association. Oh, you came to church. Oh, you got a miracle. You got prayer answer. But we are not friends. Remember best of friends? Jesus, just imagine you are traveling. I don't know you. You come to my door and knock. Say, hello, my friend. Can I stay with you? I will say, if you never know Jesus here, there's no place for you in heaven. If you never get familiar with him over here, it will be ridiculous to open heaven's door for you. Because heaven is the Father's house and the only begotten was sent to us. You can know pastor. You can come here every time. But is Jesus most important to you in your thinking? Pastor, what do you mean? I close with that. How can you make Jesus your friend? How do you take him serious? It's as simple as this. He said, if you are my friend, you will listen to me. Let's close. Next verse. Let's jump down. Next verse. Therefore, this is the conclusion. Whoever hears this sense of mine, Christ is saying, now, listen to me as I close here now. Whatever you are facing, can I get that book I read this morning? Pastor Kenny, are you in the house? It's not. No, it's not around. His wife is over there. Thank you. This is a book called Scars of Faith. The scars. You know scars? When you get one dead, scars left there. Pastor Kenny gave me. Pastor Kenny was a branch pastor with Stone Church before. It's Gio wrote this book. Pastor Alex Adegboye. How many of you, Pastor Alex Adegboye? Thank you. He was shot by armed robbers. They flew him abroad. They said it's a hopeless case. A particular staff, doctors know that kind of staff, it's called MRSA. That when it enters you, nothing can cure it. No antibiotics for it. It has entered the leg. They either amputate it or else he'll enter his brain. He's either kill him or make him insane. They got abroad. The doctors said to him, you have no chance, but we'll try. 2-3 years will take you to finish this stuff. He started working on him. And they were shocked. Every antibiotics they give to him, this staff, of course, will just suck it in and take all the antibiotics and kill him. It got to a point, The final doctor said to him, I can't help you. I give you 10 days, it's in the book here, to think about your life. I got 10 days, come back here. I cut your leg because we can solve this. We can stop this stuff. Go ahead and attend this. So he went to. He spent the first 5 days, according to him in this book. God, Kinemose Oluwa, Kinemose Oluwa, Oluwa Mosave now. I was the anchor person for Full Gospel for several years on TV in Ibadan now. I'm the BGO of the church. Lord, he said he was sad. God, I don't like this. He cried. Pastor Kenny told me that Jesus told him, Alex, they will cut your leg. And when they cut your leg, nothing will come out of it. And you'll be called pastor with one leg. The Lord said, look at me. I have my two legs. If they cut yours, you allow it. It's your move. Jesus. Jesus said to him, if you take my word, you can be spared of this. You can stop it. And he took the word of Jesus. He called it his own cocktail of antibiotics, spiritual antibiotics. One of them, by stripes you are healed. He took that word, read it, and then within a couple of days, went back to the hospital. The staffs were dying instead of killing the antibiotics. You know what they told him in the hospital? They said, man, somebody upstairs must be listening to you. And we got Jesus upstairs. He rose from the dead and he said, heaven, clap your hands for Jesus. Let me go further. How many of you know Bishop Oyedepo? If you know Bishop Oyedepo, you're not in Nigeria. Bishop Oyedepo, his wife was sick. Hear me? The best of the best. Pray for him. Pray for her. Tell us born. Baba Deboye, she was not getting better. They came, Professor Oba, she was not getting better. She was in, Pastor Sam, my friend, was in Oraribas University, that time in Tulsa, Oklahoma. She was not getting better. I read the book myself. Redeemed from something, ransom something. Rescue from destruction. She started, she prayed, God, please, Jesus. They all came, nothing happened. But one day, she took Jesus' word. Luke 10:19, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing, what her husband could not do, what their husband could not do, what Baba Debo could not do, Jesus came in and sought her problem out. And you know what? By the way, you may not have him. You may not have me, but you always have Jesus with you. So listen to him. You know what? She took that word from Jesus, Mrs. Faith Oyedepo. Her name is Faith. She took that verse and she began to recover. I read in the book, when she took that word, right in her house in Lagos, one black bird flew toward the window and died there. You can give an interpretation. I don't care. Christ will take care of it. Whether black or yellow or red or green, he knows what to do. I don't. So, Nigerian Christians, I want to plead with you. Forget pastors, forget ministers, forget prophets. Give to them. Give them an offering. Bless their church. Serve in church. But Jesus only. Clap your hands for Jesus. Is that all right today? That makes some sense today? And can I say something to you? Let me give you an outstanding order. If I come to church and I'm doing something, it's not in line with Jesus, just follow Jesus and don't mind pastor. Because when this word is over, you stand before Jesus and pastor will be in the line too. You hear me? Are you blessed today? Just one more time. Lift one. Let's bless Jesus for being our Savior and our Lord. Whatever you are facing is able to take care of us. Let's bless Jesus. Let's give him glory. Jesus only. The father said, that's my beloved son. Listen to him. And when they opened their hands, they saw Jesus. They saw Jesus. Say, Lord, I want to see you, Jesus. I want to see you in all my life, in all my situations, in all my pain, in all my crossroads. I want to see you. Jesus, everywhere I go, I see you. Everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. Oh, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Open your eyes. Let me get practical. How do you hear Jesus? Pick up your Bible. Start from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And listen to him there. Then the apostles will talk more about him. But go direct with Jesus. A lot of things I've said that as think out of our lives. I know you may not sometimes have time to come to church. But pick up your Bible. Read Matthew, Mark. Hear Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Things happen. Hold consultation with him. And how do that? Check what he said in his word. To Pastor Alex. I said it. I paid for you. Mrs. Fetu Yodepo. This is what I said. I told them in the first service. Jesus was having so much crowd around him. Today I know, Pastor, I know you are very busy. But not Jesus. Never busy. Too much. It was crowds. Multitude were around him. I told them in the first service. Crowds. Thousands. And then a man came and fell down and said, my daughter, a 12-year-old. You think I will attend to that? There are big, big guys around here. Jesus stopped all that he was doing and followed him home to attend to a 12-year-old girl. And on their way, there was a woman bleeding away. She's bleeding. She's unclean. And she struggled through the crowd and grabbed hold of Jesus' clothes. She got here. Jesus stopped. Can you imagine? The whole crowd. Jesus said, somebody said, who touched me? Peter said, Master, I must have so now. This whole crowd is touching you. They're all pressing. He said, somebody touched me. That woman is unclean. She's nobody, but call her somebody. By the way, her sickness began when that girl was born 12 years ago. We will never be too busy for you. Lord, we thank you that we always have you. I know many of us were in serious struggles of life, Father. But you have sent your son as our answer. Tell yourself, I embrace the answer tonight. I may not even know what it is, but I embrace the answer in Jesus. I embrace the answer. I embrace the answer. I know it's enough for me. The Lord is my shepherd. I can't be left to myself. Oh, hallelujah. I don't have to close this service today. Let's go to Romans chapter 10, verse 11. Give us quickly on the screen. And I want everybody to stand up and claim this for yourself. Romans 10, verse 11. For the scripture says, whoever believes will not what? Tell yourself, because I believe in Jesus, I will not be put to shame. I will not be put to shame. I will not be put to shame. Pastor Adekunle is over there. About 2-3 weeks ago, he was doing a walk at Niger Republic in the midst of that coup. I mean, you think that coup has taken over everything, but Christ was still walking there. Putting up a building, the cement refused to arrive. There was no money available. He had to come back, and he had to finish up the work. He called me on the phone. He said, number one, Pastor, I need prayer of agreement. I need, just pray with me. Second, I need to get some money to finish this up. And that moment, he was broke. There was no money on him. He said, when he finished dropping the phone, I said, I'll talk to that person that was trying to work with you. And he said, well, drop this phone. He just called his wife and said, let's agree together. Oh, Jesus can work anywhere, even in coup-plotted Niger. Do you know what? He agreed with his wife. Started going home. Walked home. Am I right, sir? Trekked home. No money. Trekked home. He got home. He opened his phone. Alert came in. Money came. Another one came in again. We have more than enough to take care. And then the cement came later. But it never stopped the work of God. Are you hearing me, somebody here? Tell yourself, I believe in Jesus. Jesus, I rely on you for my life. For my future, for my destiny, I trust you. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. Thank you. Thank you. A song says, amen. Jesus never fails. Come sing it with me. As we stand up, we sing this song, then we give our pastor's offering. And then choir will sing, get out of here. Amen. Jesus never fails. Sing it from your heart. I have a God who never fails.
Jesus never fails.
Say that from your heart.
Amen. Jesus never fails.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus never fails.
Jesus never fails.
Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails.
I have a God.
Forevermore.
I have a God.
I have a God who never fails.
Look at your life now. You will not fail. I will not fail. Jesus is with me. His word is true. And I'm going to go on with him. Make up your mind. You're going to have a good job, a good family, a good future. Because Jesus said, build upon my word. Amen.
Amen.
Mean it from your mouth, from your heart, down deep. Jesus never fails.
Amen. Jesus never fails.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus never fails.
Amen.
Forever.
Lift your hands. Say this after me. Jesus, before this congregation, I declare with my mouth, you are my only solution. You are the only one for me. I have no other alternatives. Jesus, you are Lord. You are my master. You are my shepherd. You are my king. You are my ruler. I place my life once again in your hand. I know I'm safe with you. I'm secure with you. Therefore, I boldly declare, no circumstance, no people can stop me because Jesus is with me. Come on, clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. Thank you. And tell yourself, that miracle, I'm going to have it in Jesus' name. That blessing, I'm going to have it in Jesus' name. That progress will happen in Jesus' name. That desire will be fulfilled. Come on, say to yourself that. Tell yourself that. Tell yourself that. That thing I'm looking for will be ours in the name of Jesus. This door will open because Jesus has the key of David. Yes, hallelujah. Amen. Do that confidently. Make up your mind. This sickness will leave. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I believe that. And I declare it with my mouth. And the answer is mine. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Amen. Have your seat in God's presence. We're going to give our pastor's offering now. Pastor, what's that? You don't know? You don't know. Don't worry. So those of us who are here, we just give the pastor's offering now. And then the choir will come and sing. Hallelujah. Praise God. I said, praise God. Choir, are we ready? Let's give our pastor's offering. Thank you.
Be still and know that the Lord is in control. Be still, my soul. Stand and watch as giants fall. I won't be afraid, for you are here.
Silence.
You silence all my fears.
I won't be afraid.
I won't be afraid. You don't let go. Be still my heart and know I won't be afraid.
Yeah.
Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Only Jesus can give you such assurance. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Amen. Amen. Surely. Surely, 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 surely. Huh? Surely. What does it mean? Huh? What? Surely. It means surely. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you so much, sir. We are blessed. Amen. Listen to the following announcements, but let's give our offering. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me, regardless. Surely, he said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over, shall men put into your bosom. If you believe that, lift up your offering this morning and say, Father, thank you, because I believe your word. Regardless of my circumstance and situation, I believe your word, and I give in obedience to that word this morning. Thank you, Father, for honoring your word in my life, because I know you are a faithful God. I give you praise. If you are giving your tithe, I want you to just declare over it. Say, thank you, Father, because I know you will do that which you have proposed to do. Devourers are rebuked for my sake. And you are opening the windows of heaven over my life, over my business, over my home. In the name of Jesus, we give you thanks, Father. We give you praise. We worship you. For in Jesus' name, we are prayed. Amen. Just give your offering cheerfully. Listen to the following announcement. Next Sunday, by God's grace, men's meeting will hold there by 5 p.m. All men. All men. If you're a man, we expect to see you. No, I don't expect to see you. I will not be here. You are expected here Sunday, next Sunday by 5 p.m. It's a special meeting for all men. Today, care meeting, you have a care group has a meeting after the service. Where are you using now? Yes, in the new building on the first floor. You have the place available for your meeting if you're a care group member. Yeah. Next Sunday, by God's grace, if you have, for all mothers in the house, if you have kids less than 10, all of you nursing mothers, I would just like to meet with you briefly after second service next Sunday. We'll meet maybe there in the first floor. All mothers, children less than 10. We'll just meet briefly next Sunday after second service. October 1st, we have just one service. That's a combined service on the 1st of October. That's a Sunday. And it's going to be a love feast. When we eat, we would share fellowship. It's going to be like a family gathering on that Sunday. And there will be food. Amen. There will be food. Amen. And on the 2nd of October, we are going to have an outreach for ladies in our city, in our community. That's Excellent Ladies Network. We have the HANOA conference. And I sent a message yesterday, and I just want to say a word about it. I want you to begin to think about who to invite. You know, sometimes you think, oh, I'm going through something. But by the grace of God, by the word that is coming into your life, God is balancing your life and you are making progress. All right. But, you know, some people will just be glad to know maybe a quarter of what you know. How many ladies, how many people are in the city today, you know, having one issue or the other, just for them to hear the truth. So we are on purpose reaching out to ladies. Don't go and invite somebody that is a deaconess in our church. No. Another program for that, but I want you to find somebody around your house who does not know Jesus, who is not established in the church, who you know that this one is not a believer. Those are the kind of people that we want you to invite. Just invite one person. And all of us, we are doing this together. I want you to just bring somebody, just one person. In past conferences that we've had, they have opportunity to give their life to Christ, get filled with the Holy Spirit, and continue with Jesus. And we're co-laborers with him. So please, I'm imploring you, all ladies, begin to look for somebody now. Information desk is open for registration for all of us. If you're going to attend, and you drop the name of the person you want to invite, a lady that you want to invite, and let's work together. And if your number is not, if you're not on ELN platform or in the community, RFC community, just write your number down and drop it with the ushers. or at the information desk. We'll gather them and add you to the platform. Praise God. We started a program last Friday, 1 hour of praise. Psalm 67. Just give it to us. Verse 5 and 6. Psalm 6:7. He said, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Verse 6. He said, then the earth shall yield an increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. The last verse says, our God, God shall bless us, and all the hands of the earth shall fear him. We are doing this praise service just for 1 hour based on this word. And we trust God to bring that word to pass in our lives. So last Friday we were here, just 6 to 7, praising and magnifying God. So join us, and if you can't, you can join us online. But if you can, be here. Praise God. Amen.
Okay, let's go home. Praise God. Sometimes I don't like service finishing, but you have to go home because you're enjoying your company. Get up on your feet. Let's do something. Let's not get too far now. Find somebody around you that you don't know. Say hello to them. Somebody you don't know. Don't go to your friends now. I have time for your friend. Somebody you don't know, just say hello to them. Hold on. Stop. Egbon now, okay, stop. When I say hello, I don't mean like this. Hi. So we can go to South, we can go home. No. Say, good afternoon. Thank you for sitting beside me today. What's your name? What do you do for a living? If your wife is beside you, turn away from her to somebody else. I'll find somebody, leave your seat. Go somewhere else. Say something, somebody. Say hello to them. Leave your seat. You can. Go to somebody you don't know. Thank you. James, we are coming. We are almost over. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Okay. Your husband is not greeting you. Don't worry. I'll come and say hello to you. You're welcome. Okay, I said turn away from your wife or your husband. So, all right. Can we go home? On a more serious note, as we round up, please remember how I started this service, that I wish I could write you letters. But that is not possible anymore now. But we can write texts. So you can send me texts if anything, bug, trouble. Let me share a story of a lady in church as we round up. She was in Lagos. She was going through some issues, family quite difficult. So she picked up her phone. She was on the platform of third service and said, her brother said to her, tell pastor to help you come back to Abeokuta. At least you are in school and things are difficult. And she never expected that I will see her text. So the brother said, send him text now. Just send text. So she sent me text. Then I read the text. And I told myself that even if she's 419, let me just see what I can do. So the brother said, check up your phone. The brother was not coming to this church and he had more faith in me. Interesting. And then my wife said, we just do that. And you know, her mom said to me, we never said anything like this. Church, pastor, the big church, and you responded to a person you don't. She was healed recently. She was in the service. She had some food stuff. And beans always turn out funny when she eats beans. She was having pain. And was it about 2 weeks ago? She was in the service there. She was in pain, actually. She just had beans. And she came to service. I just said, if you're in pain, stand up. And then we prayed, and the pain stopped. She said, the pain has stopped. Maybe just that one. Maybe if I eat beans next time. She ate beans again, and that pain never came back. And she's been enjoying beans since that time. Jesus knows you. I may not know you much. So tell your neighbor beside you, anytime you need help, pastor is available. Pastor is available. Pastor Day is available. Tell yourself, I'm available too. Come on, clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Before we share the grace, anybody here, your first time in our church, you are welcome. We have a gift for you inside this package here. We want to give you some books and some credits for your phone. So anybody, your first time in our church, anyone, you're welcome, my sister. Anybody else, God bless you. Okay, pick up your bag and your Bible if you are here for the first time and go toward that door. They will give you everything plus more. Let's clap for them as they go. God bless you. Tell somebody beside you, remember, Jesus is our Lord and he will take care of us. We can count on that. So, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, be with us now. Tell them, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Have a wonderful, wonderful week in Jesus' name. Thank you for coming.